Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. KSJE is supported by the San Juan County Board of Realtors.
Did you know that home ownership can help you build a strong financial future? A local realtor is ready to help start the home buying process. Find out more at SanJuanCountyBoardOfRealtors.com. The site lists all local realtor members.
You're tuned to KSJE Farmington, 90.9 FM and HD.
Welcome to Cop Shop. I'm Nicole Brown, the Public Information Officer for the Farmington Police Department. And not with me this week is my co-host, Chief Hebby. He ducked out, I think, like, to go to Wisconsin or something. I don't know what he's doing.
His loss,
as Scott says. But I'm living it up with a new co-host just for this week, Miss Sarah Holliday. Hi. How are
Thank
you?
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be replacing the chief's spot for just today.
Yeah, me too.
Thank you.
We miss you, Chief.
Dearly.
So you work with FPD.
I do.
How long have you been with the department?
I have been with FPD now for 17 years.
That's awesome.
And I have been an advocate with the department now for over 11 years.
Wow. So what is an advocate?
An advocate, specifically with the police department, we're called a systems-based advocate. And we are there to support victims after an incident has occurred. So we are there to provide resources. We are there to support them during criminal court processes, during civil processes that they might go through. We also are there to provide information about their cases, about what's happening to their offender. We are also maybe the person that liaison between the victim in a case and maybe an investigator or a police officer or the criminal justice system.
So you kind of keep them abreast of everything that's going on, and right?
Because okay. As a victim, victims have rights. And one of those rights is to have information about the criminal cases. And so it's important for us to be able to provide that information for them. And especially in domestic violence cases, that information is so important in regards to their safety planning, what they're going to do, where they're going to be, other things they need to file to remain safe.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So those are incredibly important.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And so I'm sure Georgette was very fluid in all of this, and I am not. This is all new to me. So I have all kinds of questions.
Sure.
Why do we have advocates like through the why is it a service, I guess, at the police department?
At the police department, right. So just a little bit of background. Back in 1994, the Violence Against Women's Act was enacted.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, that allowed police departments, district attorney's offices, prisons, those type of agencies to provide these type of services to victims because of what now are victims' rights that were enacted because of that act.
Okay.
So we become a part of fulfilling what their rights are, I guess.
Yeah.
To system.
Because we're all about that, the police department.
We are so all about
people's
that.
Rights.
Absolutely. And what's so unique about FPD is that we're the only law enforcement agency in San Juan County that provides that for their victims in their cases.
Oh, I did not know that. That's good to know. And so what other agencies within the county do you guys primarily work with, like closest, other than, of course, FPD? But
FPD, right, absolutely. We work with a numerous amount of victim service providers in the community, including Family Crisis Center, Sexual Assault Services of Northwest New Mexico. We work with New Beginnings, a ton of counseling services, with the courts, with the district attorney's office, with other prisons around the state, just anyone and any agency that can provide a service to a victim are the agencies that we will work with. So it's not, you know, just confined to a certain amount of agencies. It's where we can look for the help and provide the help for victims in our cases.
And there are so many services in our county that I thought I knew a lot about it just through dispatch, but as I've learned more in my role as a PIO, there's a lot of services in our county that I just didn't even know about that are just in support of people needing help.
Absolutely. And even as long as I've been an advocate for the department, I'm still discovering new services. I'm still discovering other places that victims can get help from. And as things progress through time, the way services are being handed out change too. And of course, with the pandemic, that changed as well. So we're always learning. We're always trying to figure out the best way to help a victim with whatever situation they're facing.
And that's kind of a cool way to look at your profession too, is that it's always evolving. Things are changing. So it stays fresh maybe for you after 11 years.
Right. It does stay fresh. It's always a challenge. And I love that part of the job. But my most favorite part of the job is being able to help a victim get out of their situation or see some light at the end of this terrible incident they've experienced. And to me, that's the greatest reward for this job.
Definitely. Yeah, you're helping them through. I mean, you're not seeing people when they're at their highest high, I'm sure. But hopefully you get them there.
We do get them there eventually, and sometimes it can take years even. And we think about cases in which we don't arrest somebody right away. Mm-hmm. And those, think about like sexual assault cases where somebody discloses something that happened years ago to them, and we're not able to charge somebody until we get maybe DNA, we get some other, able to talk to the suspect, and it can take a lot of time. And in that time can even be a year or so. But we're there to support them throughout that whole time, get them services and referrals that they need to be in a place where they can proceed with the criminal case. So when we do finally charge somebody, they are that much stronger. They've gotten counseling services. They've become a different person altogether in regards to how strong they are.
Yeah.
Supporting their cases.
Yeah. You guys are change agents almost. Right. That's pretty cool. So what did you do with the department before you started as a victim advocate?
Right. So when I first started here, I was the secretary for the detective division.
Oh.
And I was that for 6 years. And at that time, we only had one victim advocate. I'm only the fourth victim advocate we've had in this department.
Oh, wow.
When you think about time.
Yeah.
You know, but I watched our advocate do her work. And being that I spoke Spanish, I was able to translate a lot for her during her interactions with victims. Mm-hmm. And it was then I figured out that's what I wanted to do.
Oh, that's amazing. Right?
Just to see how she was able to assist victims and the hope that they were feeling when she assisted them. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I want to do that. I don't just want to answer the phones and make a file. I want to do more. So that's what encouraged me to
switch
positions.
And so how many do we have now at the department?
Right now, we currently have 3 victim advocates. Two of them are grant funded. And so their focus are specific to victims of domestic violence, sexual assault, and stalking cases. And one of those, out of the two, her focus is specifically on the homeless and inebriate populations. So we kind of try to take care of certain types of victims. Mm-hmm. And because I'm not under a grant, I'm able to help anyone else in any other type of crime that we handle.
Yeah. So I get a lot of messages on my office phone for you guys.
I bet you do.
Because my number was used to be Georgette's, and I think she took it over when she transitioned from an advocate to the PIO. I Googled it once. I just Googled victim advocate, and my phone number popped up, and I was like, oh that's great. Why I'm getting all these calls.
Thank you, Nicole, for taking
it. Yeah, no. And I tried to transfer them to over to you guys. But it is so interesting to, because people will call it and they kind of will tell all their story, and then they say, okay, this is what I need, and can you help me? And I always think that what great work you guys do, but sometimes probably pretty heavy. Like, you're dealing with very heavy topics, and I listen to them tell their, you know, I have this court case, and they're trying to relay everything, and I think, man. This is a lot. This is heavy.
It is very heavy, right? And we can't experience vicarious trauma in listening to tons of stories of what people have gone through. So we are so lucky to be in a department where they allow us to work out, where they allow to do things that we need to do to keep our to keep that vicarious trauma taken care of.
Yeah, to take care of yourself.
So we can take care of ourselves and do a lot of self-care. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's what allowed me to be here so long and to do this work so long is because we do have such a supporting agency that we work for that allows us to do those things.
Yeah,
to do the self-care.
And so you are in the detectives division,
yes.
Essentially, because you work pretty closely with all of them through the investigations. And you were talking about how, like, sometimes it takes a lot of time, and I don't think sometimes people realize that unless they've gone through a process like that. Investigations sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes require a lot of time and a lot you know, waiting on things to happen. And so, yeah, you probably get pretty close with people.
You do. You become very close with them. And what's so wonderful is to be out in public and you run into somebody you've helped in the past. And there have been times I don't remember them. But they'll always come up and say, oh, thank you so much for what you did. But this is what I'm doing now. I'm on my own. I've got a job. I'm supporting myself. I'm away from my offender. And life is so great. And I love those stories.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's come amazing. Up to me anytime if somebody has those. I love to hear that. I love to hear that our work is doing good for them.
Definitely.
Or has done good.
And that, I'm sure, helps keep your passion alive, too. So if you're out there and you see Sarah, say hi.
Please do. I will welcome it.
She appreciates it a lot.
I do.
So then you also have kind of, in doing all of this, and you mentioned that you were helping translate and speak Spanish, and so there's another part of your job that you handle, which is U visas. So what is a U visa?
So U visas is a visa that can be granted to victims of crimes, of certain types of crimes, who are immigrants or non-documented citizens of the United States. And when, especially in domestic violence cases, victims who are not documented or immigrants, one of the power and control things that their offender uses is, I will report you. If you tell on me, I will report you that you are not legal. And they're fearful and they don't know how our system works, and so they tend not to report. And so when somebody in that position finally comes in and reports the abuse that they experienced, and we discover that they're in that position and we're able to provide them with the resource to be able to get their U visa, mm-hmm. and all along they thought they would be in trouble for reporting. Right, and we finally get to tell them, you're not in trouble for reporting. You're not doing anything wrong. You're not committing a crime. Mm-hmm. It's somebody else who's committing a crime against you.
Yeah.
It's a huge relief. And so we're able to help them get those U visas so they can stay in the United States and progress in their lives and do better, right? That's what we ultimately want them to do after they experience such a traumatic event.
Yeah, and I think that was something, part of my hiring process, I went to the panel that you guys had on undocumented people in the community. Mm-hmm. And so I learned so much from that panel, and you were on it.
I was. It was a lot of people on that panel. So
yeah, no, not that many. but it was so interesting to me, and something that I think as a department we still want to stress that if you are a victim of a crime and you are undocumented, that we still want to help you. Like, it doesn't matter that you're undocumented because, you know, we want to help all victims.
Absolutely. It doesn't matter what their immigration status is. It doesn't matter what nationalities they are. It doesn't matter. If you're a victim of a crime, we're going to assist you. It doesn't. None of those things matter to us as an agency. Mm-hmm. And that's important to stress to everyone out there. If they're fearful of reporting because of those things, they shouldn't be fearful of that. We're not going to arrest them for reporting something that's been done to them.
Yeah, yeah. Because and that's something that I love about the department is that we're everyone's police department. You know,
absolutely.
We serve everyone that's in our city. So I was so happy that I'd put in for the job. When I was hearing all that stuff, I was like, yeah, that's right up my alley. I like it. We're serving everyone. We're unbiased. So,
yeah.
And what has been your favorite part about working for FPD?
Ooh, that's a loaded question. What is my favorite part? Certainly being able to do the job that I do is the number one, I believe, because it provides such a purpose for me to be able to serve these victims and to be able to provide the service that we do is so unique in San Juan County, again, because other law enforcement agencies are not providing that type of service. Mm-hmm. So thank you, FPD, for, you know, allowing me to have this type of job and to be able to do what we do. And of course, second is just the people at FPD.
Right, I know.
Absolutely.
I love everyone I work with, too.
I do, too. Yeah. Those two things. And I can't complain about it. We are provided things that we need to succeed.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing I'm lacking to be able to do my job.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Right? And this agency is so transparent in what we do. And
the service to the community, I think, is that, like, yeah, we're continually trying to figure out how to better serve the community and our citizens. And we can't please everyone. We know that.
That's true.
But we really do try, whenever we see a gap in services, you know, we're always looking for them to try and identify them, I feel like. And then we're trying to figure out, like, finding a grant to fund
absolutely
victim advocates for very particular gaps that we saw in service. So
absolutely, yeah, right. To be able to work on this new project with the homeless and any of your populations is definitely a need. And so for us to be able to develop this program to help that specific population is amazing.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's interesting because I've been in those talks and they've talked about, you know, first it was, we've got to get the repeat offenders, you know, out of that population. Yes. And how do we do that? And we were kind of really focused on the offenders. But then the more we kind of talked about it, the more we realized if you can help get the victims out of those situations, they'll help us identify those offenders and get them out of there. And so just kind of the way we adjusted our view, I think, was really important.
Right. And to have a victim to continue in the criminal court process helps us to have the offender be held accountable.
Yeah.
And then that changes the way how much crime we have.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's like a win-win, right? We get a victim who's going to get services that they so desperately need because of the crime that was committed against them, mm-hmm. and maybe even have a better life afterwards, especially in that type of population.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And now we're holding criminals accountable
which is,
for what they've done.
Yeah.
So it's a total win-win.
Yes, I agree. Well, before we go, we're kind of running out of time, but before we go, I wanted to, again, talk about early voting is open, and there's so much stuff on the ballot right now, and it's all local stuff. You know, it's important. Local elections are very important. So early voting is going until the 30th, and Scott's got some stuff on the screen. You can go to the San Juan County Clerk's Office, and cast your ballot. We had Mr. Ripley on from the dispatch center, and he talked about there, you know, on the ballot is a 1/16% or something like that. It turns out to like pennies on every $20 that you spend, but it's a tax increase to help support the dispatch center, which they're hurting because they're digging into reserves, and they're definitely going to have to reevaluate the level of service that we provide if this doesn't get approved. So we're not telling you how to vote, but we're telling you what's on the table. but it's really important. I'm a believer in going and voting in your local elections, because that's what affects you on the day-to-day. And on the screen, there's some other locations that you can vote at: the Farmington Museum, the library, the Bloomfield Cultural Center, Newcomb Fire Station, the CCSD Business Office in Shiprock. So if you can get there, go vote. It's important. Stuff's important. Chief Hebby, we missed you. We hope that you're driving safely. staying under that speed limit, or I guess at the speed limit. You could go at the speed limit, right? And that's it for Cop Shop. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you again.
Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.